Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio. I don't remember what the number is. This is WrestleMania XL preview number 2. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul-Hadi. What is up, good sir?
Are you ready for WrestleMania?
This is a very exciting WrestleMania. I mean, we kind of talked about it a little ahead of time here. But this is Triple H's first, like, there is definitely no Vince interference going to happen, WrestleMania.
And I know he is looking forward to it, especially it being in Philadelphia, which is an awesome wrestling city, and the roster and the resources he has, like, just the odds of you have to, and just how injuries kind of made the show better in a weird way, because you have two main events. One is a rematch to Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. The other one is the biggest tag match of all time involving the damn Rock.
Yeah, you really got two main events that are really worthy of main eventing WrestleMania. You know, if this was a traditional one night kind of thing, you could do those two matches in different years.
Yeah, like either one of those matches would have been the biggest main event. Especially that tag match would have been the biggest main event on about 80% of the shows you had. Just from a strict wrestling point, you take into the star power to Rock, and it's like, wow. Like, the fact that he's just been in there on a semi-regular basis since he's been back, it's just been amazing, because it's kind of like, I know people joke about midlife crisis or whatever, like, he doesn't have to do any of this at all.
No.
And not only is he doing it, he's going above and beyond. Like, I didn't get a chance to talk to you the past 2 weeks. Seeing that man brutalize Cody Rhodes with that belt just had me laughing, because people are saying, oh, it's Rock from the Attitude Era. I'm like, no, this is... I mean, beside him bashing Ken Shamrock in the face with a chair, The Rock was never this damn ruthless on Monday Night Raw as he is now.
His heeldom wasn't that long, and he definitely was not a real bruiser heel guy when he was a heel.
Yeah, like, it was funny where he did his most heel work in matches, not necessarily like, you know, promos and interaction. This one is kind of like, oh, so you want me to be a heel? I'm going to show you what a heel looks like, and I'm going to do what I want, and I don't care what anybody says. And them feeding into it, like, they rolling footage after they stop the show, talk about that's cut. You're like, no, that's not how this shit works. I don't hit stop because you said so. Like, no. And then this week, him hitting the ref with the belt. You can tell he's just having a great time. And they have done a wonderful job setting up the tag. They've done a better job setting up the tag match more than the singles match.
Yeah. Chris and I kind of talked about how it just, for whatever reason, Cody and Roman just don't seem to have great chemistry together.
I mean, they had it last year, but it's kind of like, I think it's the fact that you have in two matches and the fact that it's like, it's a foregone conclusion, especially this year, that Cody's going to win. It's nothing wrong. Like, Roman last year had an awesome build up, but this year, like, it's nothing else he can really say. It's like, me and my cousin were having a match, you got in our business, so I gotta beat you again. Like, he can't say anything that The Rock can't say better. And it's almost kind of like they will be stepping on each other's toes. So it's basically been, the whole build up has been, I got The Rock as my henchman. Which is still a wild thing to think about.
Yes, that is a wild statement to still be throwing. Even though it's definitely sunk in at this point, still a wild statement to be making in 2024.
So that's basically been that build up to that match. And I think we're just looking forward to the matches to see how many people get involved. and how much shenanigans are going to be in. This is kind of like, it doesn't need that much promo build up, and I like that at least Roman came out Monday to like interact with Cody Rhodes, and I love that setup because Seth Rollins, Mr. I Got a Plan, we got The Rock jumped, like look at us, how smart we are, and Roman Reigns was like, no, you're not the only smart person in the Shield. I know how this works, and then brutalizing both of them with that belt, it was kind of like, it's wow.
Yeah, that's one where I guess I've been thinking the whole time, The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to win night one, and then Cody's really going to be in trouble, and they're going to save the day. And then, you know, like, all of the extra people, whoever comes in, are going to help save the day. But now, like, Cody and Seth have taken such an ass kicking. I'm like, can you afford to have them lose night one still? And just go, oh, then play the John Cena and Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Cards on night two. Like, are they strictly saved for night two still?
I mean, you don't need it for night one. And yes, because it kind of like, I think it feeds into the storyline, especially from Seth's point of view, because Drew McIntyre's whole point has been, we have a match and you busy focusing on Cody Rhodes and you want to do double, like you disrespecting me, think you want to do double duty. Like that has been part of the storyline, is like Seth trying to be the hero to clean, you know, past sins, and it being a stupid idea. Like, everybody been talking about how Seth Rollins has been injured for the past 6 months from Shinsuke Nakamura on down. And you're going to have a back-to-back match. And the first match is a tag match against Roman Reigns and The Rock. And then you're going to defend your belt the next day against somebody who tells you how stupid this is. It's like, yes, I think Seth is going to get pinned Saturday and get squashed Sunday.
You know, the one thing that could happen on Sunday still is CM Punk getting involved and helping inadvertently, I'm assuming, Seth Rollins keep the championship. I do think that that's on the table still.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Priest cashing in is also on the table, especially, like, I would assume...
The jokes after Raw. I was dying about, yes, honestly, where was Damian Priest?
Look, Drew McIntyre said, he told everybody, don't try to cash in. Because I'm going to make sure that if I'm around and you try to cash in, it's not going to end well. He has said that, and he has done that with action. So people have tend to forget that, and Drew McIntyre is a petty ass man, but he's a man of his word. So I think people forgot that Drew said that because people were saying, "Oh, why didn't Damian Priest just cash in?" It's like, Drew McIntyre's still around. He's not gonna let that shit. Like, you think he's gonna let that happen right before WrestleMania? Like, But I was assuming Drew was going to win Sunday until they announced Clash the Castle and it being in his hometown, in his home country, basically. I'm like, if he doesn't win Sunday, he definitely went in there.
Yeah, the last Clash at the Castle is getting a redo of sorts.
And it would make sense because it's kind of like Drew has been, he has been doing the best work of his life, and he has just been on fire, and he deserves to have the belt with a crowd, and that's a perfect spot to have him win if you don't have him win Sunday. I mean, but the fact of the matter is, you can go in all these different directions and make it all make sense, and that's been the beauty of this WrestleMania. Is kind of like, you can see, like, the matches make sense and the storylines make sense, and a lot of storylines are kind of linked up and leading to stuff. Like, we brought up Damian Priest and like the Judgment Day, like the way they broke down that tag match, is you have to get both belts for the match to be over. So of course, if you want to split the belts up, that's a perfect way to split it up, because just that one, that little stipulation right there.
That was another one where I just kind of chuckled at the reaction. Like, everyone was super pumped about the belts being split. And honestly, it seems like they have enough teams right now to do that. Because, I mean, I think it was on this list here still. Because, I mean, I don't even think. Oh, yeah, just for the tag team match itself that they're having. We got the New Catch Republic, Pretty Deadly, LWO, Legado, A-Town Down Under, if they're going to keep them a team, the OC, Street Profits, and AOP. Like.
And you know, that's now you're talking about the fact, oh, the Awesome Truth in that match too, and it's like you taking
Oh.
the kind of like, yeah, just kind of like the Creed's not even in that match,
Oh, yeah, they weren't in the.
know,
Yep.
and like Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin are tag, you know, they're NXT, but they're still a tag team. It's kind of like they have enough tag teams on both shows where they can have tag, you know, titles on both shows
Yeah, for
because
sure.
they have a curse of a roster of riches. And they, I mean, this is, I want to say, besides the post, at like the post WCW ECW era when they both got absorbed by WWE, this is probably the deepest roster they ever had that they actually used. Because they had deep rosters, but it was a time where they had too many people and they couldn't use half the people they were using when they would just sign everybody from the indies and
Oh.
everybody, like. When they first had, like, you know, Adam Cole's and Keith Lee's and, like, you know, Dijak and Karrion Kross, and it's kind of like when they signed everybody, it's like, okay, you don't need, at this point, like, when you can see signing Mike Bennett, it's like, okay. I know you like signing people, but it got to a point where it's kind of like, you don't need to have every single person that's wrestling. So now they have a roster where they have a lot of people, but for the most part, they use the people they have. And there's few people that's out there that's kind of like not, you know, taking up spots. And because even like someone like Carlito, where you wonder like why is he there? You know, he's gonna be there. He's gonna turn on Rey Mysterio on that tag match.
Yeah, the look on his face for this week's SmackDown was hilarious. He's like, "Huh? Like, why's Dragon Lee your partner?" Like.
Like the look, because the way they set it up, and then the look that he had on his face, and then Santos on Twitter making fun of it, like rubbing it in, is like, yeah.
Oh, I did not catch that. Outstanding.
He kind of like, because he just basically tweeted Carlito face, like, huh?
Oh, that is a deserved retweeting there.
Because Carlito was the first one that told everybody not to trust Santos Escobar. He's had Rey's back and the LWO's back from Jump Street. And now you're gonna get revenge and you're just gonna pick Dragon Lee because he got a mask too. And it's like, who's this? Like, I know y'all friends, but I'm here. And it's like when that happens, and it will happen, it's gonna be justified. Like it's not gonna be this whole it came out of nowhere, like, no, it's not you playing somebody's face. And they playing your face back. You can't say, I didn't know why that happened. You know exactly why that happened.
Yeah, I mean, they have really not done Rey Mysterio any good recently. Because, I mean, he really is being portrayed as a bad parent at this point. Like, if Michael Cole weren't defending him week in and week out.
Yeah, it only works because everyone hates Dom, but it's kind of like if you take a step away, the whole L, like from the moment San, like the moment Legado got on the main roster, Rey has been moving very shady. And it's
Yeah.
like Santos was just as funny, like Santos was justified too for turning heel. And it's kind of like maybe you got to take a step back and like Rey is the common denominator in all of this. So I'm like, at least they're on the show. The fact that, you know, they found a way to squeeze them on the show is kind of like you can't have WrestleMania without Rey Mysterio. But the fact
Oh.
that you have Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee on the same team on a WrestleMania match is just kind of like, wow. Wrestling his son and Santos Escobar, like the man who people thought was going to replace Rey Mysterio. And now you have Dragon Lee, who people think is going to replace Rey Mysterio. Why do you still have Rey Mysterio?
Well, you know, yeah, the successors have not quite hit the same. I mean, they don't have a spot for, I know that Andrade's had TV time, but man, he has not had a whole lot more than that. You know, I don't think he has a spot on the card itself.
No, I think he's going to be the Andre Battle Royal. It's just timing. Like, he came too late to start something, and they got so many people tied up. It's kind of like, unless he was going to be, like, the bad thing about it is people assume they're going to have like a 4-on-4 match, like Legado versus LWO, and have Andrade in that somehow. Having a 2-on-2 kind of like narrows things down, and Andrade's part of the storyline, but he hasn't. It's kind of like one of those, if they would have did it all over again, it'd probably been better if he showed up after WrestleMania instead of like right at the Royal Rumble, because like he showed up at the Royal Rumble and they have stuff set up, but not in time. But not in time.
Yeah, he was gonna be an undercard match at best.
Like, they know they have something with him, but it's kind of like they keep, and it's like you said, a good problem. They have a lot of things with a lot of people, and it's kind of like figuring out, like, everybody can't get a chance, so who gets a chance this time? And it's kind of like Andrade is gonna be the one to kind of get left out through no fault of his own. It's just kind of like, it's just a timing thing. And I like how he's basically just been causing instigation of problems between the Judgment Day just by existing. Because Dominic is out here. No, because Dominic's out here doing stuff behind their back. And it's like, you're supposed to be a team. Like, why I don't know him. Like, Andrade trying to be cool. Like, especially after going with all that through JD McDonough. Like, now they're doing it all over again with somebody that they probably shouldn't trust. Because it's like,
that's one of those things too where Judgment Day is still allowing it, so they're kind of letting it bite themselves in their own ass. It's just like, Andrade's caused enough problems already. It's just like, nah, Dom, let's just shut this down. Like, period, end of sentence.
No, and you can trust him. He's the essay. He's cool. And it's like, you worried about him. You worried about the tag match. You worried about Ricochet. And Rhea Ripley's worried about Becky Lynch. It's like, they're all worried about all these different things. And they're all going all these different directions. They don't seem to be on the same page. And it's just done in an organic way. And I just love, that's how the new WWE, where all the storylines make sense. And they adjust to, like, have multiple things happen at the same time. So when something happens, you, like, you know, it's a background for that. There's a history for that.
Yeah, they can pivot more than they used to be able to. Yeah, Vince was kind of one track and didn't have that much interaction between the roster. I guess that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and also he was more stubborn. It's kind of like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make it work unless there's no way for me not to make it work. And Triple H has come out and say, you know, we make adjustments. Like, if we're doing something and it's not working, we're going to change it. Like, the whole thing with Lashley and the Street Profits and Bianca Belair was being interviewed by somebody. I was like, yeah, they were supposed to turn heel, and they were doing all these heel stuff, and it wasn't working, so they became babyfaces.
Yes, that was failing miserably.
And it's like, I don't know why they thought that was going to work. Because it's kind of like, no one wants to boo Bobby Lashley to begin with. And people like the Street Profits anyway. So you put them together, it's like, they knew it didn't work. Because, like, if you jump Rey Mysterio and you still get chair the next week, you can't turn heel.
That is dead in the water the moment that happens.
So they have their match with the Final Testament, and the Philly Street Fight means we're going to have some chairs, we're going to have some tables, we just have them fight. And that's just been a weird storyline, because it's kind of like, Why they loot? Like, Final Testament's like five people, and it's like three of them wrestle, and it's kind of like, what's the point? Like, I know why they're feuding, but it's kind of like, it's, what's the point?
Get them on the card. Because, I mean, they still haven't done that great of a job with any of them. Like, a lot of people don't like the Karrion Kross, but if you're going to have them on TV, like, I feel like they're finally getting somewhere with him, but, whew, man, it has been a really, really slow process.
You know the weird thing about it? Their best stuff has been digital promos. And like Twitter, like Karrion Kross has been awesome on Twitter, basically saying, you know, I mean, if it was me, Montez Ford should just leave because he should be the leader, but he being held back by y'all bozos. But we don't see that on TV. Like, you got to go on Twitter to see that.
Yeah, and I guess that has been kind of useful for me, is that I pop on there enough that I've seen some of the stuff from Karrion Kross. I'm like, oh, this is kind of working, but. You know, yeah, it's one of those. I make fun of AEW for doing too much stuff off TV. And yeah, this is one of those things. It's just like, yeah, it's great, but if you don't bring it to TV, like, a large portion of your audience is still missing out.
Yeah. Like, we're not in the Zack Ryder era anymore where that you can just do offline stuff. You can do online stuff only and just blow up like that. Because to be perfectly honest, it's a lot of great stuff they used to have online. Like, the Maximum Male Model thing is a perfect example. They used to have amazing stuff online, but nobody saw it, so it didn't matter. And it's kind of like they weren't important enough for people to search that out. And if no one sees what you're doing, you might as well not be doing it.
Yeah, it's more work for no payoff, which is not a great thing.
Yeah, like, it should be an enhancement to what you do on TV, not replacing what you do on TV. But it's a street fight. You got, like, you know, Authors of Pain, two big, like, Author Pain, Karrion Kross, three big people that can fight. Bobby Lashley, a very big person that can fight, and the Street Profits are entertaining. So no matter what the buildup has been, it's been kind of lackluster because it's basically been the Final Testament kind of like being spooky and talking trash and just jumping the Street Profits and Lashley every damn week for like a month. They still gonna have an entertaining match.
Oh, right. But yeah, that has not been a particularly entertaining buildup. Just, yeah, it's one of those it is what it is kind of things, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, everybody can't be AJ Styles, LA Knight. Because that has been a great buildup, just a battle of two haters. Like, that's been the whole feud. I don't like you, and I don't like you, and y'all, we keep screwing each other out of opportunities. Like, I don't know what's the bigger version of hate, AJ Styles going all the way to Australia just to interfere in LA Knight's match, or LA Knight pretending to be a security guard for an hour and a half just to jump AJ Styles.
Both of them are pretty extreme measures. There has been a lot of player hating in the WWE this year, and it has been very entertaining.
I mean, when in doubt, hate always works. And sometimes it's like when they had the, you know, they're gonna have a home invasion, but the fact that they had the
ring camera angle recording it,
I was like, this is just awesome. Like, little things like this, because it's like, that's all they need. They got in each other's way. AJ Styles think LA Knight is just some flash in the pan. LA Knight think AJ Styles is a player hating bozo, and we gonna fight. And it's like, They're gonna have an awesome match because it's AJ Styles and LA Knight can do enough to hang with AJ Styles. And the dirty secret is AJ Styles' best WrestleMania match was with Shane McMahon.
I would disagree with that one. I'd go with the cinematic match with The Undertaker.
I mean, that's cheating. that's kind of like,
that's fair.
I mean, if that's we're adding that, then yes, I would say that. But it's like, taking that into account, like, okay, non-cinematic ring match, which is why I'm just saying, because I remember people hating that whole build-up, like, why is AJ Styles wasting his time with Shane McMahon, and they end up having one, not only his they end up having one of the best matches on the show.
Yeah.
And it's AJ's, this is wild. Like, you got these two men in their 40s having, you know, just having a mid-card match. And it's kind of like, I know 40 is the new 30, but 40s is still 40s. And it's just wild where it's kind of like, we used to laugh at people, you know, when they having matches that old. Because it's kind of like, in their time retired. I think we got spoiled because I was watching like an A&E documentary, like the wrestling documentary. And I was like, oh yeah, The Rock was like 26 when he won the title the first time. And he was like 32 by the time he left. And it was like, that's when a lot of people starting. It's like, I think we got spoiled by, you know, The Rock, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar thing was like, yeah, by the time we were in our early 20s, we were already champions. Like, now it's like, you're taking care of yourself and you can be fine. Cause when Ric Flair went to WWE the first time, he was 42. And I was like, I thought for some reason he was younger than that. And I'm like, wow, he was 42 all in the early 90s. He was old. Cause I think about that now. Cause I'm like, LA Knight's what, 41?
Something in that area.
And like, you know, I think about him, I think about AJ Styles, I think about Randy Orton. I'm like, yeah, they're around the same age as Flair, and for some reason they look a lot younger in the body than Flair did. And Flair didn't look old. I mean, Flair looked age appropriate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is honestly wild, the shape, because AJ Styles is 46.
Good Lord.
And LA Knight's 41. So
yeah, we want to talk about Lashley, like, looking the same way he has always looked for his whole life, because that's a different thing. But I'm just
yeah, he's a whole different category.
Yeah, but it's like, we were wondering what they're gonna do with LA Knight AJ Styles, because it was kind of like, you thought it was leaning toward LA Knight going for the US title, but I think they didn't want Logan Paul to lose it so soon. So it's like, you have this big star, what you gonna do with it? And it's like, oh, AJ Styles is back, and he doesn't have anything to do either. So just have them have a good match, and have the storyline meet be, we don't like each other, and it worked. And they're both entertaining, and that's all you need. Like, sometimes it's like simple things work.
It hasn't been anything special, but it's effective, and that's good.
Yeah, like, you know, have a home invasion, have people do dress up, have people fly on planes. Like, it's just because AJ Styles enjoys being a hater. LA Knight can talk his ass off. So, and it's just funny, like, LA Knight is not the first time he has been a security guard on WWE TV. So that's also a nice, it's just wild. Like, LA Knight has been the weirdest Waldo of wrestling. Like, he just popped up. He's on a Triple H workout tape. Like, he was just popping the video with The Rock 11 years ago. It's just kind of like, LA Knight has just been in the background, like J.K. Simmons. Like, oh, it's that guy. I remember him.
And until they end up as the main character in some show.
Yeah, it's J.K. Simmons hitting his acting prime in his 60s. It's hilarious. So seeing LA prime, seeing LA Knight. And the best thing about this is, if Vince was in charge, this would not have happened. He would have said, you too old, I'm not going to do it.
Oh.
And Triple H is like, I don't care. If you can go, you can go. You can obviously go. People like you. People cheering for you. And you entertaining. And your match is good enough. So why not push him?
Yeah. I mean, it's LA Knight's been quite the pickup. You know, kind of thought as something of a throwaway, honestly, at least for me, where it's just like, oh, really? They're getting that guy? And then, I mean, he's done the same gimmick as he was doing in TNA, just to a much larger audience.
I mean, like Cody Rhodes, some people just work best on bigger audiences. It's like, people say, oh, LA Knight is doing a combination of Steve Austin and The Rock. And I'm like, why is that a bad thing? Like, if you gonna copy somebody, copy the best. And it's like, it's working. Cause nobody, even though it's funny, he's doing that. And now The Rock is here, so it's like it looks a little weird. But before The Rock came back, nobody else was cutting promos like that. So that's why it worked. Like LA Knight is entertaining. You could talk about it being an Attitude Era ripoff, and it's like everybody ripping off somebody. Who cares?
Yeah. It's all recycled material.
So, but we talked about player hating. I want to give a shout out to Io Shirai. And that promo, Io Sky, and that promo she cut, like, how disgusted she was with the WWE Universe talking about, y'all got sympathy for Bayley after her being a dirtbag all this time. Like, y'all make me sick. Like, yes, that was my friend. And that's the worst decision I made. I will never forgive myself for being friends with her. And she's an embarrassment to the company. I'm going to get rid of her. I'm like, that's that NXT hate that she used to have. Like, that's the hate I miss.
Oh, man. Yeah, she has really brought, well, at least for this end of things, like, I almost don't want to see her lose.
I think she's going to win. I think they're going to drag this out because it's funny how it was a hot thing and they kind of pushed it to the background because they didn't want to like overshadow other matches. But also the build has been kind of like, yeah, Bayley, you deserve this. Like everybody, like, you know, just kind of, even Bayley said like, yes, I know I deserve this. I'm trying to do better. And all the baby faces, like, you know, Naomi's like, I know how it is. And everybody else is like, you don't know what she was doing. You wasn't here. We was here. Like, she deserved this ass whipping. And now we supposed to cry because, you know, the rabbit got the gun. And the heels have been like, no, you only brought us together to elevate yourself. You can still not shine. And it's like, yeah, you made me champion. I made you relevant. Now I don't need you no more. Beat it. Like a storyline where, you know, the former heel becomes a babyface and still has to clean up the sins of her past, and everybody reminding her. But like, it's wild because they did the same thing with Jey Uso. So we've seen this before, and it was kind of like the whole thing about Drew McIntyre became a hater because he remembered what happened when he got jumped, and it was like, yeah, like. I remember when the shoe was on the foot and Drew McIntyre was getting jumped by the Bloodline. It's like, oh, well, Jay different now. I'm like, why? Because you said so? And that's how Io Sky the same thing. Like, y'all know how Bayley moves? She moved like that her whole life. And now y'all like, oh, she's a hero now. And he was like, no, that's not how this work. What's wrong with you people?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it was a deserved and really probably the best promo of that they've cut for this. Oh, like, yes. Like you said, like it really has. Bayley won the Women's Royal Rumble, but whew, man, she has kind of been a lame duck as far as winners go.
Trusting Dakota Kai when you know you shouldn't trust her, going through like. Yeah, like Dakota Kai's been doing a lot of heavy lifting promos for Damage Control. And like they've been saving, like EO's kind of like been on the sideline just watching. But when EO wanna cut a promo, like we both watch NXT. And we remember EO on NXT. She used to cut them old Akuma promos where it's like, I don't, babyface heel don't matter. You're gonna get beat up regardless. I don't got time for this nonsense. And her bringing that Venom out is perfect. But it's funny how all the Bayley storyline led to not just Bayley Io Sky, but led to like the six man tag because it's like Naomi basically dragged Bianca Belair into this by guilting her, and then Jade is like, I don't like bullies, so I'm a bully y'all.
Yep. It's quite the team, like that they ended up with here with Naomi.
What a dance. Naomi, Bianca Belair, and Jay Cargill. Let me tell you something. When Jay Cargill did that entrance on SmackDown, I'm like, she looked like a superhero. Like, she did not look like a human. Like, The way they filmed it and just the way she looks, I'm like, I know if I'm Tony Khan, I would have flipped a chair over if I watched that. Like, I don't like doing the whole WWE AEW thing. Mommy, you had her. You knew she was special. And you was like, eh, that's fine. We'll be okay.
Yeah, like, it almost seemed like her first choice was to stay there. And he's like, nah, that's okay. And it's just like, huh? Like, really? Look, all you needed to do was move her up the card. Like, that's all you needed to do.
I could say you could have been gobsmacked, like thinking, like, you know, I didn't think Cody was going to be the centerpiece of WWE TV. It's like, because nobody thought that until it happened. But you knew damn well what they were going to do with Jay Cargill, because everybody said that the moment she showed up. Like, the only reason she wasn't in WWE in the first place is because she didn't want to relocate when she did her NXT trial. Because otherwise, she'd have already been there. But it's like, you made her a name. You know exactly what type of women they like. And you just going to let her go? And all them jokes, oh, they're not using her. And it's a waste. Yeah, that went out the window on SmackDown when she came out, looked like Storm. Like, really looked like Storm from the X-Men. And I'm like, yeah, I know Damage Control is a, you know, that team has Dakota Kai and two former champions. Like, Asuka is a Hall of Famer, and Kairi Sane can wrestle ass off. It ain't nowhere in the world I can see them beating those three. Like, that seemed like a hate crime. Wrestling Naomi, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill, like, all three of them on the same team. Like, that is insane. Like, if the Steiner brothers had another brother.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite the statement to say that Naomi is the weak link on her team.
Just think about that. It's like, it's true. It's like, it's Naomi. Like,
yeah, a former champion is the weak link. Like, that is wild.
Like, yes, she is the least physically imposing. And that's the only time you will ever say that sentence and it make any sense, is this match right here. Because Naomi's a better athlete than, like, 90% of the roster. But she's on a team with two mutants. This is women's wrestling. Like, we just get this. And it's just, I remember we had the Miller Lite girls. It was wrestling, was it Tori and Candice Michelle?
Probably.
Yeah. I remember what women's wrestling used to look like. And I see what women's wrestling look like now. Like, it's just amazing. And since we're talking about the women, I want to give a shout out to Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, especially Becky Lynch, because that feud kind of started tepid. And boy, Becky Lynch has been bringing it. Like, I will give her major props, because she made that feel very personal. Like, you out here playing games. You out here shaking your ass. You talking about me not being a good mom. You bringing my family out. Like, my dad is dead, and he won't be able to see this match. You think gonna embarrass me in front of my daughter on WrestleMania? Cause you just wanna, you know, go viral. Like, no, I'm gonna beat you. Like, I'm gonna beat you up. You gonna stop playing in my face? And Rhea Ripley whole thing is like, you just talking.
Oh.
So, but
yeah, I am still twice your size.
You basically, it's a funny thing where it's like, you had your time, it's my time now. Beat it. Like, you're an old lady, get out of my way.
yeah, that is pretty much what she's going with these days. And I don't blame her.
And they had a great pull-apart brawl, and it's just kind of like, you know, when in doubt, have that. And it's funny, like, I brought Becky Lynch's book, and I started reading this week. And it's like, yeah, Becky, that book is very honest. That's one thing I'll say about it, because it's not like, you know, pulling any punches or making her look in the best light in a lot of things. Like, she basically, like, you know, I was white trash from Ireland, and I made it somehow.
Just some of the excerpts that I've heard here and there, just like her admitting that she wasn't great with the whole how she handled Charlotte during the first championship run, or something like that, how she kind of let their friendship get away from them.
Yeah, because it's kind of like she was cutting promos, thinking it was just promos, and it was like personal. And it's kind of like she didn't realize how personal it was. So after the fact, and she didn't fix it in time. Because that was, I remember when they did the whole title thing, the title switch, and that whole thing just seemed weird. And now reading a book, it makes sense because Becky was thinking Charlotte was just trying to be funny, and Charlotte wasn't. But the title was like, what are they doing? Like, why are they out here like, is this a shoot? Like, why are they out here arguing and fighting? Then all of a sudden, it's like they're not friends anymore. And it was like, it just seemed very odd. So I'm glad that it's like she's basically illuminate a lot of things that kind of made sense. And some of that stuff is, I'll just say this: a lot of interviews have pointed out that boy, people was ready for Vince to go. If it's one thing you want to get out of WrestleMania week from people talking, it was like, yeah, get this old man out of here.
Oh, yeah, that's gotta hurt if you're Vince. Question mark. Because, yeah, that has been made more than clear. Because did Becky say anything specific? I mean, we know that the Ronda Rousey stuff is out there.
No, Becky, and multiple things. Like, she said she didn't want to do the whole thing with Bianca Belair, but basically that was the
Oh.
choice she had. And then it was kind of like it made not just Bianca Belair look a certain way. Apparently Carmella didn't know that was gonna happen till Becky told her, because Vince didn't want Carmella to know because it wanted to be a surprise, because it was supposed to be a three-way, like Carmella, Bianca Belair, and Zelina Vega. And they forgot to put Zelina Vega in the match.
Oh my God, I did not hear that
And
part.
yeah, I just found that out today. And it was like,
Oh my God.
we just gonna have Becky Lynch come out and do that. And we're not gonna tell Carmella because it'd be a great surprise. And Becky told Carmella because, like, no, that shit is raggedy.
Oh my
Like she wanted to lose to Shayna Baszler, and they was like, no. It's like it's a plenty. Basically, it's a lot of stuff that didn't make sense. Makes sense when you realize who put the nix on it. So, but no, I'm looking forward to that, because one thing I say about Becky Lynch is she said to herself was like, I'm not the best athlete, but I will work my ass off to like make a match look good. And it's like,
Oh.
cause it's like, yeah, you look at it, it's like she wrestles kind of clunky. But she never embarrassed herself, because I rewatched that match she had with Bianca Belair, and she was going toe to toe. That is an accomplishment, because Bianca Belair is the athlete that she is, and
Right.
Becky Lynch was hanging with her, like without like you could tell she was working, but she was hanging with her. And I was like, it made me, I've always been impressed by Becky Lynch's like work rate, because you could tell she has to work hard to keep up with everybody, but she keeps up with everybody.
Yeah, she's always been pretty impressive in that department where yeah, she is definitely not in the mutant athlete category. But yeah, she gets the work done. Like she knows how to work a match.
And I think they're gonna have a great match, because I remember last year the Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, that feud, like the build up sucked, and they had that match was the match the damn that match was an amazing match, because they was just out here like, I guess Charlotte wanted to remind people like, I don't know why y'all think I'm washed up, like I can still go. And Rhea Ripley's Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea wins, because to be perfectly honest, I think Rhea's going to keep that belt till next WrestleMania.
Yeah, like it's kind of weird that I'm not quite sure where Rhea has to go after this.
We know she's going to feud again with Liv Morgan, because Liv was the last person to
Oh,
beat her, and
yeah.
then she fight Bianca next year.
Oh, well,
So we could
yeah,
have
that's.
Batman versus Superman, like we should have.
Oh, are we gonna get this Zack Snyder to direct that match?
I mean, that's like they are friends, and you could tell that's like a dream. Like, I know everybody's looking forward to Bianca Belair fighting Jade Cargill, but I think that's going to be a couple years from now because they got time to wait. But it's like, no, next, I mean, we're saying this year, like, we know what's going to happen next year, but it's kind of like, you can see it leaning toward there because it, the way the roster is set up is like, if it ain't Liv, unless you got somebody new, it ain't nobody on that roster that can beat her. Like, Raquel has her health issues and she's beating everybody else. So
yeah, I guess that was the Liv is the only person she that she has to move on to, which is I guess something. And I don't know who you build up in the meantime. I guess I was forget. Oh no, hold on. Oh whatever, they're gonna have. I was like, oh, Bianca isn't over on Raw right now, but it's just like whatever. They can get around that between now and WrestleMania next year.
Yes, they can have a draft, and it's like I assume if Roxanne Perez doesn't win the title this weekend, she will be on the main roster soon. So they will always have some. They will have some NXT people coming here to kind of kill time, but in the meantime, it's like it's Rhea Ripley. I think wrestling fans don't realize how popular she is around among non-wrestling fans. Like, Rhea Ripley is extremely popular. She is kind of like, she's in that Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, like, class of, like, non-wrestling people know who she is. They may not know her name, but they know her face, and it's like, she looks the way she looks, and she, she's going to stand out, and she's still in her 20s.
Oh. Yeah, she is going to be around for a really, really long time.
As long as she wants to be.
Yeah, like, it is like, not surprising that, and I mean, that does seem like it. 27. Good gravy. Yep.
Just seeing how she started off as basically looking like a Toni Storm wannabe. And like, it's just wild looking at her and Toni Storm and seeing how the careers have turned because they were always compared to each other. Rhea Ripley kind of leapfrogged Toni Storm, and now Rhea Ripley's doing her thing, and Toni Storm is doing her thing. They're a completely different thing. So,
yep.
Things
One of the few positive parts of AEW.
Yes, things work out the way they're supposed to work out. So, I hope we have, speaking of things that hopefully work out, brother versus brother. I hope it's more Bret Hart. I hope it's more Bret Owen, not Matt Jeff.
Oh, God. You brought their name up and everyone hinting like, oh, we'd love the Hardys back. And I'm like, no, we wouldn't.
For what?
No.
I'm please. Like, Jeff, stop. Sure, I guess. Like, Matt need to retire and be a family, try to be a family man. But no. Jay and Jimmy Uso is kind of like, I don't doubt Jay. I don't know. I'm not sure about Jimmy, but at the same time, I know they're going to have a great match because it's like for the longest time, they couldn't even get on WrestleMania. And now they're having a singles match at WrestleMania. And they want that's a big, that got to be something. Like I was watching that Roman Reigns documentary. You just talk about that family. I forgot Rosie was his big brother.
Oh my gosh. That was.
And I saw that part. I was like, oh yeah. Ugh.
I caught that on Twitter there, and I was just like, oof, you could just, yeah, you can see the pain in his face. I'm just like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, that was, you know, hopefully we'll find time to talk about that at the end show. That was a painful damn episode. I was like, ugh. Like, he went through it. Like, him and his fan, like, in a ways you don't even think about, like, you know, as a side, I was at that WrestleMania when Seth cashed it in, and everybody's talking about how Seth was excited for winning. Boy, they showed Roman's parents. You want to talk? You want to know who wasn't excited about that? You want to know who was pissed? Them. And Roman. Like, Roman whole thing is, I didn't want to, you talking about who don't miss Vince? Roman don't miss Vince. I didn't want to turn babyface. I didn't want the show to break up, but I ain't make enough money, so I did what I was told. I want to be a good soldier. I knew this was I didn't like this. It didn't feel right, but I had to do it. Yeah, so, but no. Jimmy and Jay just been a thing. It's kind of like Jay Uso being a main event superstar. It's wild because it's just...
Yeah, the crowd loves him. I mean, that the bounce there has really caught on something fierce.
I mean, if you look at like top merchandise, he is always number one. He only had like two or three shirts in the top 10 by himself. And it's been like that for a while. It's like he is really, that whole Bloodline thing has really made him a whole lot of money, made him a big deal, where it's kind of like nobody would have guessed that even 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, nope. Would not have ever, like, it's just kind of wild that that the Usos are split up in any way, shape, or form. Like, yeah. I thought that they were lifers as a tag team.
Yeah.
But they've really dug their own personalities out for themselves.
Yeah, it would have been like if the Dudley split up and it worked. Like, it worked a little for Bubba Ray, but not really until he got the TNA. It didn't work for D-Von at all. It's kind of like when you just know as a tag team, it's not normally Sean, you know, one might work if it's like they're different people. But when they're like family, when it's like you see them as tag, especially twins, for like, yeah, at least now you can tell the difference between the two. I remember for a while, I could not, if you asked me which one was Jimmy, which one was Jay, I'm like, I don't know. It, like, now it's no problem because they looked like it's the same thing with the Bella twins, where like it got to a point where it's like, yes, Nikki has been doing push-ups and Brie has not, so they do not look like twins anymore.
Yeah, the body shapes have changed a little bit more to make it a little more clear who is who, on top of the hairdo and just general, yeah, they don't dress the same anymore, so that. That certainly helps.
I just hope they don't.